Yeah.
We'll be right in the office.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott, and I call this public hearing to order. It is scheduled from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. The purpose of the hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding Citizen Initiative 17F-SH2, an act providing for the protection of wild salmon and fish and wildlife habitat, which is appearing on the ballot for the upcoming November 6, 2018 general election. This public hearing is required under law. Alaska Statute 1545195 requires the Lieutenant Governor to hold two or more public hearings concerning the initiative in each judicial district of the state at least 30 days before the Tuesday, November 6th general election. There will be no Q&A or questions and answers as part of today's hearing, but representatives from the Departments of Fish and Game, Environmental Conservation, Transportation and Public Facilities, and Natural Resources will be reviewing the testimony and comment received. Each agency has contributed to a frequently asked questions document, and this FAQ may be updated as a result of comments received during these hearings. The most current version of the FAQ will always be available through the online public notice for this hearing. The order for receiving testimony shall be a statement of support from the sponsors of the initiative and a statement of opposition from an organization which opposes. We will then accept testimony from attendees and from the public in the order that they signed up to testify. Testimony will be limited to 2 minutes per person. And Eric, you know that if there are any Tlingits in the room, that's not going to work. We will now begin accepting testimony. Do we have an initiative sponsor present to provide a statement of support? Good morning.
Good morning, Lieutenant Governor. If I may, I will be reading a statement on behalf of the ballot sponsors because none of them were able to attend and it was easy for me to come over from Juneau. Yes, for the record, my name is Melanie Brown. I was born and raised in Alaska and in fact, I was born here in Sitka. And my parents connect me to Alaska through the Naknek River in Bristol Bay and the village of Unalakleet on the Seward Peninsula. But I know you've already heard the sponsor's statement, but for the benefit of the people in the room and anybody else who may be listening, I would like to read the statement that the sponsors wrote together. All Alaskans have been given the gift of salmon, passed down through the generations. Salmon and other related fisheries support a $2 billion annual economy, 32,500 fishing jobs, communities around the state, and a way of life for thousands of Alaskans. In addition, in many areas of the state, our tourism economy is driven by visitors coming to Alaska to fish, hunt, and view wildlife, supporting 43,000 jobs and adding $4.8 billion annually to the economy. It's our duty to protect salmon and all they provide for our families, for our communities, and for all future generations of Alaskans. And that's why I'm speaking in support of Ballot Measure 1. We are at a critical moment in the history of our state. Our salmon runs are mostly intact, but the climate and oceans are changing. Alaska is growing fast, and a new generation of mines, dams, and large projects are bearing down on our communities. Our outdated, ineffective law that is meant to protect salmon habitat will not protect us from the worst effects of mining and overdevelopment on salmon, not when it's perfectly legal for foreign corporations to wipe out salmon spawning and rearing streams and leave a toxic mess there for Alaskans to clean up. We need real science-based standards that will truly balance our salmon fisheries with responsible growth and development. When Alaska became a state, the drafters of the Alaska Constitution even recognized the value of these resources and created directives to protect salmon and other renewable resources. Specifically, Article 8 of the Alaska Constitution reserves fish, wildlife, and water to the people of Alaska for common use, directs the state to sustainably utilize, manage, and maintain our fisheries and other renewable resources, and directs the legislature to equally prioritize and balance the conservation of natural resources with the state's interest in the utilization and development of them. These constitutional directives serve as the foundation for Alaska's standard of care when managing our salmon resources. Alaska is the last place in the United States that still enjoys healthy and sustainable salmon fisheries. But we can't simply manage harvest and expect our salmon populations to remain strong. We need to also have strong habitat management in place, especially during times of low returns. In tough times, the single most important thing we can do is provide healthy habitat for salmon to come back to. The problem is that Alaska's current fish habitat protection and permitting law is too general to truly balance sustainable fisheries and responsible development. Under the current law, the commissioner shall issue a fish habitat permit unless the plans and specifications are insufficient for the proper protection of fish and game. However, there is no definition of what the proper protection of fish and game means. That means that the current law does not provide the certainty or accountability in the system to ensure that the law will be applied consistently and without political influence. That's why Ballot Measure 1 is so important right now. Ballot Measure 1 offers a proactive solution to strengthen Alaska law and protect salmon streams as Alaska continues to grow. Ballot Measure 1 establishes clear, enforceable standards for development around salmon streams, requiring things like adequate water in streams, fish passage, and clean water that wild salmon need, while also requiring mining companies to pay for cleanup of long-term damage to salmon streams. It creates a two-track permitting system to ensure that projects that pose little threat to fish habitat get a minor permit and are processed quickly, but large mining projects like the Pebble Mine are put on the major permit track to receive more scrutiny because they have the potential to damage Alaska's salmon fisheries. It ensures that Alaskans, for the first time, have a voice in the permitting process for major development projects that could harm salmon streams. It gives fish and game authority over all salmon streams in Alaska. It creates a path for responsible development projects to move forward in a way that protects our wild salmon legacy. Alaska is the last place in the United States that still enjoys healthy and sustainable salmon fisheries. We can look to the lower 48 and we can see what irresponsible development does to salmon. We have the opportunity to get it right. My hope for our future is that we can learn from the past and choose a different path. Protecting our salmon runs for future generations is about as Alaskan as it gets. And I hope you will join us and vote yes on ballot measure one on November 6th. Thank you. That's the statement that was created by the sponsors. Thank you so much.
Is there an individual prepared to speak on behalf of those who oppose the initiative? I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that the two statements, that of the proponents and that of the opposition, are given the opportunity to read their statements in full.
Just enter this
Okay. We just went offline a moment. This is the first hearing that we've held where it seems that there is not an individual to speak for the opposition. Such a statement is required by the statute. And so we will articulate for the record that any statement in opposition made during this hearing will be taken as the formal statement of opposition. If there is no statement of opposition, we will enter into the record a statement that has previously been read. So we are ready to begin public testimony. As we indicated, 2 minutes, please. We have a timer. It looks like we are going to have a number of statements, so we'll try to adhere to the two-minute goal. The individual that I'm going to call up next will give us a sense of the proof of the pudding here in terms of time. Eric Jordan.
Governor Byron Mallott, thank you for your gracious hosting of these events, these hearings. My name is Eric Jordan. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. My father was a fisherman. I was born in Wrangell, Alaskan. My mother stepped off the boat when I was 9 months old. I mean, when she was 9 months pregnant, I was born 2 weeks later. They took me back on the boat when I was 5 months old. I've been involved in the salmon fisheries and conservation and sustainability of salmon since then. I support Stand for Salmon. Beyond that, in this time of changing climate and crisis, we need to renew our commitment to conserving salmon and protecting their habitat. And this issue goes beyond just us taking this action. There's a perception in the markets around the world and concern about protecting and sustaining wild fishery runs. Alaska's commitment to sustaining these runs sends a message around the world that eating Alaska salmon, the finest fish on the earth, is protected by the state of Alaska and renewed in that commitment by supporting the Stand for Salmon initiative. Thank you, Ms. Byron Vallant.
Thank you, Eric. We all know that we've just heard a statement from an icon of the Alaska fishing industry, so thank you for that.
And it was under 2 minutes.
Yes. Sometimes even Eric Jordan can surprise. Kim Wirtz or Kim Wentz?
It seems as though she was unable to get here from work, so we'll submit her written comment.
Okay. Someone would just let me know if she does arrive, and we'll just add her to the list.
Okay.
Okay. Eric DeJong.
Good morning, and thank you for taking the time to listen to me. My name is Eric DeJong. I am an Alaskan by choice. Before I came to Sitka, I worked as an engineer in the marine industry, And for some years, I was involved with the engineering of oil rigs, pipe layers, and other offshore structures. The mentality in the oil industry is something that bothered me so much that I changed jobs quite quickly, because I was often asked to cut corners. An oil spill is cheaper than having to do your, or is cheaper than the delay of doing the work properly. Then I came to Alaska, and I've had the privilege to explore about 6,000 miles of the coastline by sailboat. And what I saw, to my great sadness, is a lot of abandoned military sites, mining sites, or other big industrial sites that have basically been left behind as soon as the work was done. Nothing was cleaned up. The heavy machinery is rusting away. Batteries are leaching out their liquids and chemicals. Oil barrels rusting away, the oil leaching back into the ground, and that doesn't look like environmental accountability to me. I have a whole bunch of photos here that I took during my trips, and anybody who wants to see them is more than welcome to look at it. I'd like to say that I'm absolutely not against mining or oil exploration, but I would be a hypocrite if I say that I was, because I use oil on a daily basis. But I do think it needs to be done responsible, and the country, Alaska, needs to remain as wild and as pure as possible, because it's the main reason I love living here and the reason I came here. So that's why I would vote yes on ballot measure one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You mentioned that you had some photographs. You're certainly welcome to submit copies of those for the record also, if you choose. And regarding the record of this hearing, those who have signed up, who may have to leave, or who aren't able to testify, if you have written testimony, please leave them with us, and we will include those in the record of this hearing also.
Put them on the end of the table here.
So Andrew
Thom. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for taking the time to come here to Sitka and listen to our thoughts on this ballot initiative. My name is Andrew Tomes. I'm the director of the Sitka Conservation Society. I'd like to tell you a story about why personally I'm inspired to support this ballot initiative, and that is the Chewitna Mine and the proposal for the development at the Chewitna Mine. The Chewitna Mine was a coal mine proposal that went on over a number of years, and part of the proposal was to create a mine over top of salmon habitat, and the company promised to rebuild that salmon habitat after they got done doing an open pit coal mine better than they originally found it. And I cannot believe that a coal mine company could propose that in all honesty, and that we could believe that, and then even worse, that the state permitting process could allow that. That company was an out-of-state company, and they never got to the point where they had the investment capital to follow through with that project, but the state of Alaska couldn't do nothing under their existing permitting and regulations to say, no, we cannot accept that that proposal could go forward. The small community that was within the watershed that depended on the salmon run did everything that they could to slow down that permitting process and really had to work to the utmost of their abilities to have their voices heard. The problem that we have today in Alaska is that there is so much money in these development corporations that it's drowning out the voice of the Alaskan people. And because in our country the Supreme Court has ruled that corporations are people, and any amount of money that they put into any initiatives that are political or in permitting or public outreach is freedom of speech, the people of Alaska who don't have that much money are drowned out and their voices voices aren't heard. On this ballot initiative, we can see that clearly, where corporations from out of state have invested tens of millions of dollars into this to hire consulting firms that will confuse the process the same way that they did with tobacco and nicotine, and so people are left unsure what's going on. This ballot initiative gives voice to Alaskans to take care of our salmon and salmon habitat, and for that reason, I support it and encourage the rest of my Alaskans and my neighbors to do the same.
Thank you, Andrew. Gosh, when we first met, you were a very young guy without even a hint of gray, and look at you now. Wow. Thank you for that statement. Wendy Alderson.
Hi, thank you for taking my testimony. In January of 17, the Alaska Board of Fish requested to submit the following points for the legislature's consideration in amending Title 16. 1, improve public notification and opportunities for public comment. 2, create enforceable standards. This turned into HB 199, which didn't make it out of first committee. This is why the Citizens Initiative was penned. You refused to certify it as written, and you were overruled by the Superior Court. The Supreme Court modified the initiative and approved it for the ballot. So now we have ballot measure number 1. Keep in mind, this has all happened very recently. I think it was August 18th that the Supreme Court approved the initiative as amended. And in the meantime, while we are being assured by opponents of number 1 that Title 16 is sufficient as written, and while the ADF&G believes the current permitting process effectively protects anadromous fish habitat, this August, the ADF&G awarded Donlin Mine 13 permits to develop their waste rock facility and tailing storage facility. Here are a couple excerpts from those Title 16 permits recently issued. Your project as proposed will have adverse effects on anadromous fish or their habitat and will obstruct the free passage of fish. American Creek will be eliminated from approximately 0.25 miles upstream from its mouth to the headwaters. And another excerpt, I quote, your project as proposed may have adverse effects on anadromous fish or their habitat and would obstruct the free passage of fish in Anaconda Creek. Anadromous fish habitat downstream from the tailing storage facility could be altered or eliminated, and fish passage to habitats upstream from the tailing storage facility would be eliminated once construction of the tailing storage facility begins. Well, no wonder Donlin Gold, a Canadian-owned company, is a major contributor to Stand for Alaska, which opposes ballot measure 1. And if this is the kind of sufficient protection to anadromous fish salmon streams currently offered by Title 16, I believe it is due for an overhaul, and I will be voting for ballot measure 1. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Wendy. John Steele.
Thank you for allowing this public testimony. My name is John Skeel, and I live here in Sitka. I have been a commercial salmon fisherman for almost all of my working career. I just completed my 41st season as a salmon troller and gillnetter. I support Stand for Salmon. I really think we need added protection for our salmon habitat. We face, we have unprecedented threats in recent times, I think, to salmon habitat, and that pebble mine, which has the potential to damage or destroy the state of Alaska and the world's most productive and lucrative salmon run. We've got the transboundary mines being constructed in every major salmon river in southeast Alaska. We face the threat of increased clear-cut logging if the roadless rule is weakened or rescinded. It's a long list of things that are coming up in very recent times. So I'm convinced that as Alaskans who depend on salmon, and now and in the future, we need to vote yes on this ballot measure number one yes on Stand for Salmon. So thank you.
Thank you. Nora Steele.
Hello, my name is Nora Steele, although Steele sounds pretty cool, like that. Thank you for showing up and listening to our testimonies.
I'm sorry, your last name is pronounced how?
Steele.
Steele.
Steele with a K.
Oh, Steele, okay. Okay, thank you.
I'm here today to voice my support of this ballot to protect salmon habitat. That was my dad just now. I grew up on a commercial salmon trolling boat in southeast Alaska along with my entire family. I've crewed as a salmon trolling deckhand and gill netting deckhand for over 10 years. I believe this fragile resource needs to be protected so that Alaskans can continue their way of life, living off the land, supporting our families and economy through salmon fishing. We all know how fragile and sensitive salmon are to environmental damage. Once the salmon are gone, they're gone. They will never come back. You can shut the door on the whole salmon fishing tourism industry, as well as the commercial fishing industry, all of that revenue. People want to visit Alaska for the wild and pristine salmon fishing that nowhere else in the world can provide. So once the salmon are gone, you're going to... Anyway, why not protect one of Alaska's most valuable current and future industries? Please vote yes on ballot number one and keep Alaska the salmon state. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Misty Warren.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for hearing my testimony. My name is Misty Warren. I lived in Alaska my whole life. I love the natural resources like salmon, halibut, rockfish, and rockfish. My favorite is black carp. When I was little, I fished, and my sister is a fisherman. Eating local fish because it's from a good environment and keep and keep the body strong. Ballot number one, Ward. Mike Francis, based safety in into places.
Take your time.
My name is Claire Sanchez. Ballot measure one would put science-based safety standards into place and accountability to protect Alaskan jobs while helping to protect prevent major catastrophes on large-scale development projects that could wipe out large portions of our state's wild salmon populations. The ballot measure is designed to make sure vital infrastructure projects can move forward. I stand for salmon, and I support ballot measure one. Thank you.
Thank you. Pat Kehoe. morning.
Good morning. Pat Kehoe, I've spent 38 years in Alaska, almost all of that fishing for salmon, and almost all of that working to improve protection for anadromous salmon streams. And the battle goes on, and I'm really heartened looking around this room to see two more generations of people that are also entering into the fisheries for a healthy salmon stock, and that are here to protect and to work to improve habitat for our salmon. I just wanted to say that salmon are facing a myriad of challenges right now that, you know, many of them are far beyond our control, and a lot of things that are happening we don't know. This is one area where we can have some control, and this initiative gives the people of Alaska a chance to have more input into keeping our stocks healthy. And I think other people have said far more, the value of this initiative, but I really thank you for having these hearings, and I hope that you will listen to the people who really care about the salmon and want to continue living here in a healthy manner into the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie Riley.
Thank you for coming to Sitka and hearing our thoughts on ballot measure number one. My name is Katie Riley, and I was born and raised in Sitka, Alaska. When I was growing up, my dad worked at the local fish plant for a number of years. I then followed in his footsteps before discovering my passion for tendering and the troll fishery. Like many Alaskans, salmon has been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. I hope that future Alaskans will be able to say the same sentence with ease, and I believe that ballot measure number one is the first step in making that a reality. Our salmon are under threat on many fronts, from warming ocean temperatures to increasingly erratic rainfall, factory trawling, habitat deterioration, the list goes on. This ballot measure does not address all the challenges that face our salmon today. However, it does address what we can have control over right here at home, how we protect our anadromous fish habitat. This measure provides for clear, science-based standards to guide responsible development while also protecting fish habitat instead of prioritizing the short-term extraction of non-renewable resources over the critical renewable resource that is the basis of many Alaskan sustenance, livelihood, and cultural identity. Multinational corporations do not depend on salmon for their survival. They are not tethered to this land or our people. They exist to create profits for their shareholders. These same corporations that faithlessly exploit our natural resources for profit are outraged when a grassroots group of Alaskans comes together to protect a common resource that we all depend on. But corporations cannot buy Alaskan voices, and they cannot buy Alaskan votes. They can try to mislead us and sow doubt and discord among us, but we can choose to see through their fear-based campaign and lead Alaska into a more sustainable future. I believe that if we take care of salmon, they will continue to take care of us, and that's why I'm voting yes on one. Thank you.
Thank you. Esther Kennedy.
Hello. Thank you for accepting public testimony on this issue. I would like to add that having a relatively short hearing during the workday that does not even include the lunch hour is certainly cutting out many voices who would like to be here. But I do really appreciate the opportunity. I'm an environmental scientist who studies ocean acidification and harmful algal blooms. I'm here because I'm worried. I'm worried about what global warming and ocean acidification are doing to those ocean survival rates of salmon. I'm worried that the increased uncertainty of those ocean survival rates is going to lead to management miscalculations. And I'm worried that our complacency about current laws regarding salmon habitat, laws that neither define proper fish habitat nor its proper protection, will prove insufficient to counter the stresses that our salmon are facing. The Stand for Salmon initiative grew out of policy updates that the State Board of Fisheries recommended, recognizing that current law is not sufficient to protect salmon streams, especially in the face of rising development. Salmon are facing a long list of challenges in the coming years. Changing ocean conditions, warmer stream temperatures, reduced oxygen, increased development. Many of these challenges are outside the control of Alaska and our management decisions. Protecting salmon habitat, stream habitat, and adding science-based standards is not. I will be supporting ballot measure one, and I would appreciate your support on this as well.
Thank you. Heather Bachelor.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for choosing Sitka as one of the few of the seven communities to have hearings.
I'm sorry, did I pronounce your last name?
No, my name is Heather Bauscher.
Bauscher.
Thank you.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I just returned last night from doing outreach for Stand for Salmon all over northern southeast with the help of a friend with a boat. I just was in Pelican, Elfin Cove, Gustavus, Hoonah, and Angoon and Tenneke Springs.
Oh, you're breaking my heart.
And earlier in the summer, we sailed from Kodiak to Dutch Harbor, spoke to people in Larson Bay, Sand Point, Akatan, Dutch Harbor. We've been to Haines. We've been all over Prince of Wales, Klawock, Craig, Heidelberg, Kasan. Everywhere I've been, people are concerned about salmon. People are concerned about the future of salmon, and people are concerned about the future of their livelihoods in all of these places. Each of these communities is unique and has their own challenges, but all of us are connected by this vital resource. And each place I go, I hear about a new story or a new project or a new threat that I didn't even realize was of concern. On Prince of Wales, it's Bocan. In Haines, it's Constantine, Ketchikan, KSM. The list goes on and on. My point is that this is a problem that needs to be fixed, and it was unfortunate that it couldn't be done through the legislature, but it's now in the hands of the people, and the people need this to continue this way of life. So I'm a firm yes on one, and I hope people realize how important this is.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Heather? Did you do all of this travel by boat?
Half of it.
Wow. Thank you. Debbie Miller. Okay, we'll move on, and if Debbie appears, she will have the opportunity. August Fair, or Fate.
Hello. My name is August, and I am 9 years old. I'm here on behalf of Stand for Salmon. If we don't stop the lack of government, all salmon will be exposed to toxic waste. If salmon die out, seals and other animals could die out too. Native cultures depend on salmon for their diet. Us citizens must make a stand against the lack of government and speak up for the voiceless. If salmon die out, they will no longer fill our nets, traps, and bellies. On top of that, fishermen will go out of business for the most part. Let me ask you guys a quick question, okay? Do you guys want your families putting toxic waste in your bodies just because you love to eat salmon? Pretty sure the answer is no. We have no choice but to make a stand and protect salmon for future generations. Fishing for salmon is our culture. Once again, my name is August Fair, and I stand for salmon. Thank you.
Thank you, August. August, what is your age?
Nine.
And you're the handsome young man that was sitting on the shoulders of the Baranoff statue up front earlier, weren't you? Yeah. But it's good to see you again, and thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Michael Fair?
Morning. Thanks for having us. I had a few other things rehearsed, but after seeing the passion here today, I think it speaks volumes that you sit here in one of Sitka's largest communities, probably the fourth or fifth or sixth largest city, and you have a room full of people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all in favor of this initiative. I really think, and hopefully you would agree, that that speaks quite loudly to the circumstances. We've been in Alaska for the better part of just 2 years now, and in that short time, it seems that everyone that I've met is either a fisherman or is connected to simply just one degree from that industry. Even from walking my children through town over this last summer, seeing the busloads of tourists standing on the Indian River Bridge, mesmerized as they look down, and we have to say excuse me 15 times just to get through because of the wonderment, and I feel really proud that I'm able to have my children experience that on a firsthand basis so often. On a more cynical note, I often picture the boardroom of a large corporation staring at a map of Alaska as they grid and slice and see dollar signs with little regard to the future. I think that on another note, it would be very short-sighted. I think complacency was a good word that was used for us to not consider that if something's not done, a real collapse is just one generation away. This isn't something that our great-great-great-grandchildren will have to be concerned with, but I'm concerned that my children will, and certainly their grandchildren, will be reading about salmon, not in their science books, but in their history books.
Thank you. Iris Nash. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. I am here as a mother and a commercial fisherman. My husband and I and our children are second, third, and fourth generation Alaskans and commercial fishermen, and we make our living power trolling. Salmon are no doubt the center point of our lives, but here today, the decision we are all faced with is that of greed or sustainability, corporations or individuals, the future or instant gratification, special interests or hardworking families. I know that denial can feel good, and facing the state of our ecological situation can throw you into a depressive tailspin, wrought with anxiety and helplessness. But we here in Alaska have the power and moral obligation to do all we can for the generations to come. And this measure is one step in that direction. Today, we have unprecedented access to and ability to learn from the highest accumulated knowledge and wisdom of all cultures across all time. Don't choose corporate greed over your grandchildren eating salmon. We cannot forget our dependence upon ecological foundations.
Thank you. Keith Nyatray?
Thank you for being here. My name is Keith Nyatray, and I realize that you're required to be here. We are not. The only requirement is that our social and moral compass dictates that we attend today, especially on a beautiful day like today. So I'm here in support of Stand for Salmon. I will be voting yes on one. What a lot of people don't know is my background is in resources management. And salmon is a critical resource across the entire state, whether it be in the Arctic, the interior, or here in Southeast. And as a critical resource, the state of Alaska should be managing it for the betterment and sustainability for the future and of its residents, Alaskans as a whole. When I see tens of millions of dollars coming in from outside transnational corporate interests whose allegiance is only to their bottom line and not to the sustainability of the fisheries or the future of Alaska or Alaskans, I'm seriously concerned about that. This ballot measure allows people, Alaskans, to have an input on this, to participate in the permitting process, to use clearer and sound science. And when we're talking about such a critical resource for all of Alaska, I believe we should be erring on the side of caution, that we should look towards the future and not just towards corporate profits. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Francis Brann.
Thank you for being here today. I'm Francis Brann. Over 40 years ago, I chose to make Alaska my home for the landscape, the wildlife, and the lifestyle. In that time, I've not lost my accent. I'm British by birth, Alaskan by choice. Yesterday, I returned from a sailboat trip taking my friend Heather to six small communities to do outreach for Proposition 1. And the boat is anchored out there. In Elfin Cove, we were asked why we were doing this. I replied, Alaska salmon is the lifeblood of our communities and our economy. Of course we love to eat salmon, but it reaches further than that. When I'm sailing, I rent my home here in Sitka. Many of the guests are sport fishermen. With the recent decline of king salmon, I've seen less bookings. If salmon habitat is damaged, it will be felt by everyone. When I lived in the interior, I had a custom woodworking business. Initially, most of my customers worked for the oil industry. As the pipeline boom ended, my new customers had strong ties to commercial fishing in Valdez and Cordova. Without salmon, they could not have paid for my services. But salmon's more than economics. It's our way of life. 2 days ago in Tenneke Springs, we met a community that was passionate about protecting their watersheds. People became emotional as they spoke about their deep connection with salmon. A yes vote on Proposition 1 will allow the state's people to maintain healthy salmon habitat, to ensure abundant salmon long after the extraction of minerals and timber. Clean water is a fundamental right, and I feel sad that we have to fight so hard to keep it. I'll be voting yes on one and hope many others will do the same.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As I was driving across the bridge this morning, I saw two boats. One was a troller with his poles down, and I was wondering whether trolling was open in that area. And I thought there were two trawlers, then I saw one was an anchored sailboat. That must have been yours. Yeah. Pete Roddy.
Good morning, Lieutenant Governor, and thanks for coming. I support ballot measure one, and I'd like to tell a little story to explain part of why I feel that way. When I first came to Alaska in 76, for 2 years I surveyed logging roads for the Forest Service. One break time on a trail that was just a bunch of flagging, I looked in a muskeg hole and there was a trout staring back at me. I made note of this in my survey notebook. Noted it should have a fish passable culvert. When the road was built, there was a culvert with a 4-foot drop on the end of it. This muskeg hole was not on the atlas of anadromous fish streams. Had this act been in law at that time, the waters above and below that road would still be connected. So I'm in favor of this. Thank you. Molly Blakey. Okay.
Hi there, and good morning. Thank you for coming. This is means a lot that I'm able to give this testimony. My name is Molly Blakey, and to keep it short, my husband, my two sons, and I moved to Sitka in November of 2017. We are new Alaska residents and very happy to be here. The reason why we are in Alaska is salmon. My husband and I and our business partners are starting a primary seafood processing company at Gary Paxton Industrial Park called Northline Seafoods. We moved our entire livelihood to this state for salmon. I'm from Seattle. I know what happens firsthand when we do not manage a resource correctly, efficiently. There are hardly any salmon down in Washington State anymore, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart for not only my livelihood, for my sons, for future generations of salmon. My husband has been a commercial fisherman in Bristol Bay, and I wrote I don't know if I'm going to have time to read the whole thing, but I'll just say that Bristol Bay, and specifically the Pebble Mine, is a very important issue to my family. I'll just read the beginning of this. I was not born in Bristol Bay. I do not fish Bristol Bay. In fact, truth be told, I've only been to Bristol Bay twice. Yet it is the single most important place that has forever shaped my life. Because of Bristol Bay, I met my husband. Because of Bristol Bay, I am now the mother of two small boys. Almost overnight, Bristol Bay, Alaska, and salmon have become absolutely everything to me. I urge you, I understand that this is it's a hot topic, but I would like to just also underline the importance that this is, should salmon habitat, fishing, mining, there are political issues. I believe we can all, time's up. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't do anything to precipitate that abruptly. I was enthralled. Charlie Walker?
Wilbur.
We need to put up space in the sign up for block letter.
Lieutenant Governor Malott, thank you very much for being here on this lovely day. My name is Charlie Wilbur. I stand for salmon and ballot measure one. As you've already heard many times today, salmon are the lifeblood of the economy and culture of Southeast Alaska, especially the smaller outlying communities. In my 39 years as a commercial salmon troller, I know that salmon are an important part of our family income. They're an important food source for our family and friends. And I don't want to see my investment in my fishing business, my boat, permit, and seafood producers co-op threatened by irresponsible development. Salmon have been an integral part of the Southeast economy for thousands of years. I don't want to see unrestricted development projects threaten this iconic resource by destroying necessary habitat. Please don't let short-term development threaten the long-term health of our salmon resource. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm not being paid to make this statement. Thank you.
Jaron Schmidt. Did I just see you leave a young one in order to be up here?
I left three young ones to be here.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Jaron Schmidt, and I am a homeschooling mother, which is why my children are here right now. You've heard from commercial fishermen and from charter fishermen and those in the industry, but I am here to support the subsistence fishing. I was born and raised here in Alaska. During my childhood, my family and I would subsistence set net on the Cook Inlet. To this day, I still enjoy subsistence fishing. You know, my mom taught me how to smoke salmon, and I am now sharing this process with my children, and it is something that we cover every summer. Salmon is a main staple that my children and I thrive on, and I would love for this resource to be available for generations to come. So under the current law, only 50% of Alaska's salmon rivers are protected. And we just need to act responsibly and update this. Just do better to take care of our resources. So, thank you.
Thank you. Bella Schmidt. Good morning, Bella.
My name is Belle. I'm 9 years old. I love smoked salmon. I eat it at least twice a week. My favorite thing to do on weekends is catch king salmon. In 27 days and 9 years, I can vote yes for salmon. But until then, I'm counting on Alaska to vote yes on salmon for me.
Thank you. On that note, it is almost 11 o'clock. Is this the last sheet?
No, there's still a partial.
Okay. We've been at it for an hour. Could we just stand up and say hello and stretch for a minute, and then we get started again? Thank you. Thank you. May we get started again, please? May we get started again, please? Thank you. The next individual on the list. Chris Nash.
I'm a lifelong Alaskan, third-generation commercial fisherman. I grew up in Juneau. My grandfather had a dairy farm about where Don Abel's is now. And this is my ninth season as a troller. So it goes without saying that salmon has been very important to my livelihood and my family. I now have two little boys, which I hope to bring out on the boat with me and have fish. And It affects me deeply, but beyond just my stake in the resource and making money, it is more important to me that the fish be here for future generations. And we live in a very uncertain time, and there's so much out in the ocean that we have no control over, with water temperature and climate change and sea production, but I firmly believe that we have a responsibility to have due process for projects that will affect the spawning habitat of our salmon and our fish, and take steps to ensure that corporate interests don't overrule the interests of the people who actually live here and depend upon the resource. So I'm voting yes on ballot measure one.
Thank you. Christina Scheller.
You don't need the timer, my time's short.
Okay, I get the special timer now. Hi, my name is Christina, and I live in Sitka. Yes, there are some salmon face challenges out in the ocean that we can't control, but we can ensure they have a strong start in life and their home streams to return to when they are ready to spawn. Our wild salmon runs are more than just an important part of our economy. It's our identity and what sets us apart from the rest of the world. Really, what we need to be asking ourselves is not how we're going to vote, but are we doing enough to protect our identity and our place in the world? Or are we just doing the bare minimum? Thank you.
Thank you. Melanie, do you wish to testify again? Okay, thank you. Chandler O'Connell.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Chandler O'Connell. I'm a born and raised Sitkin, and I'm very grateful to be a guest on these lands. My household is dependent on salmon, but more to the point, our culture, sustenance, and economy here in Sitka entirely depends on salmon. It's foundational to who we are as a community and as a state. So I support ballot measure one. I think that our current fish habitat laws are vague and insufficient, and I'm convinced that the language in this initiative will be a big step forward for Alaska. It's in all of our best interest to have science-based standards for what it means to protect salmon habitat. That will allow us to greenlight good projects, to insist on reasonable precautions and accountability for projects with higher risk, and to say no to those projects that will cause unacceptable damage to a resource that won't come back if we hurt it too badly. Our goal should be to prevent disasters before they happen, and I don't think I'm the only citizen that shares that goal. A lot of these big development projects employ Alaskans who want to be good community members, who want to protect the state for the future, and I think that they need clear development guidelines for how to be responsible developers, at the very least because it will save them endless time and money and litigation, but at best because it will lead to safe, accountable projects that don't leave Alaskans with a bill. So I think that this initiative provides developers with the tools they need to be responsible corporate citizens, and it will provide Alaskans with the protections we need to sustain this critical resource for future generations. So I'm voting yes on one, and I hope you'll join me. Thank you.
Thank you. Angela Hassenius.
Good morning. Thank you for listening to my testimony. I, unlike many of the people who have testified thus far, am not born and raised in Sitka. I'm a pretty new community member here, but I have already fallen in love. I've come here as an AmeriCorps Vista member, and every day I look around me and am so grateful that I am here when I could be anywhere. It's clear to me that Alaska is so full of incredible wilderness and beauty and natural resources, and I am here today because I believe it's extremely important that we all as citizens do our part to protect that wealth of natural resources. In my volunteer position, I have the opportunity to serve the Sitka Tribe of Alaska in their Resource Protection Department, and salmon is obviously a majorly important part of the Alaskan economy and also an important subsistence resource and an important cultural resource that has been important for generations of Alaskans and the people who have lived on this land before we even came here. And so I've been learning a lot about how important and essential salmon are for culture and for livelihoods, and no number, I think, adequately expresses the value of salmon. And it's not just salmon as well. There are many other, in addition to people, there are bald eagles, there are bears, there are charismatic fauna that thrive on the salmon as well. They're all part of a greater ecosystem. I don't think we can protect Alaska's wilderness and waters and everything that is interconnected without protecting the salmon, and that is why I support this ballot measure that I believe will bring common sense to the laws protecting habitat, sorry for going over time, and for just prioritizing responsible and sustainable development and preventing development projects that could cause irreparable harm. Thank you.
Thank you. Joel Hansen. Welcome, Joel.
Thank you. My name is Joel Hansen, and I stand for salmon and thousands of other species. On a geologic timescale, all Alaskans, present and past, are relative newcomers to the late Holocene epoch, enjoying life during a period which scientists are now formally calling the Sixth Great Extinction. Normally, species disappear very infrequently. The fossil record suggests that the background rate of vertebrate extinctions over the last 2.5 million years since the start of the world's most recent period of repeated glaciations is about one extinction per 100 years. Fortunately, vertebrate speciation, or the creation of new vertebrate species, has been slightly outpacing extinctions, so the net result has been a steady increase in biodiversity until recently. Keeping in mind that vertebrate extinctions don't normally happen but once every 100 years, let's look back at who's disappeared just during my lifetime since 1950. Caribbean monk seal, Bernard's wolf, crescent nail-tailed wallaby, imperial woodpecker, Mexican grizzly, red-bellied possum, Arabian ostrich, Caspian tiger, Japanese sea lion, Javan tiger, the northern and southern gastric brooding frogs, the Hawaiian Kauai o'o bird, golden toad of Costa Rica, rusty seaside sparrow, St. Croix racer snake, Peranian ibex, the Yangtze River's baiji dolphin, eastern cougar, western black rhinoceros, Japanese river otter, Pinta Island tortoise, Cape Verde giant skink, Formosan clouded leopard, Bermuda saw-whet owl, and in 2016, the Bramble K mosaic-tailed rat. The Save Our Salmon initiative is necessary because the mining industry and all those who materially disrupt habitat and generate toxic waste, including CO2 from burning fossil fuels, are major potential and actual contributors to today's explosion of extinctions. Non-human species need strong protections, especially species like salmon, which play a critical role in both marine and terrestrial ecosystems. Finally, a reminder to the public at large that there are only two Sitka Assembly candidates who support Stand for Salmon, so I'm voting for Brennan and Blossom. Thank you.
Thank you. Tam Kyle.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to all of our testimony today. My name is Tamara Kyle. I am a second-generation commercial fisherman with the third generation in the room here with me. Our sole income comes from salmon. Growing up, my family's primary income came from salmon and halibut as well. It's an irreplaceable resource. I just can't see... Sorry, I'm a little unprepared. You were asking earlier about the salmon season. Ours ended yesterday, so we're catching up. But, you know, they say having these little kids recently, it emphasizes, you see it over and over, salmon is the number one brain-building food to feed your kids salmon, I'm told over and over. Oh, you're so lucky to live in Alaska and those little kids get all that salmon. And it's true. It's something we'll never be able to replace. So I think it's worth updating the regulations. I think it's worth protecting. And I hope that you guys are in agreement. And I'll cut it short because, like I said, I'm not that prepared. But thank you for your time, and I hope you vote yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Doug Jenny.
Hi, my name's Doug Jenny, and I was born and raised here in Sitka, lifelong resident of Southeast Alaska. I didn't prepare a statement, but I'm in support of ballot number one, Stand for Salmon, and I'm a second-generation salmon troller, and I'm a little nervous. I'm not a good public speaker. So
just pretend you're throwing coals over both shoulders.
So anyway... I grew up as a deckhand on a salmon troller, and I'm a power troller now myself, and you know, and salmon is, you know, my livelihood, and I want to see the habitat protected. And I want to see salmon for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Thad Paulson. I guess he signed in simply as a journalist. Debbie Levesque.
Hello. Thank you for listening to our testimonies. I've lived in Sitka for 6 years now, and I've just been amazed to be able to participate and see the salmon and how it supported our local economy and assistance in people's lives. And I just want to go on record that I'm going to vote yes, and I stand for salmon. Thank you.
Thank you. Tamara Kyle, I think. May I already? Yeah. Okay. Galen Blights. Okay. Jan Murray.
John Murray, sorry.
John Murray, thank you.
Hey, thanks for coming to Sitka. I really appreciate you being here and hearing us out. Just kind of an overall perspective, I just want to say, I got this with your help. From you were on the coast of Alaska the other day and talking about coastal zone management, and it kind of made me do some homework. But one of the things I did in my homework was, Alaska's Constitution champions the idea of collective ownership and management of Alaska's natural resources. I kind of think that's where this initiative's coming from, to try to get into the little bit more of the, 60-year-old law doesn't hurt to be upgraded, doesn't hurt to be changed. It's been 60-year-old. It's due for a little tune-up, I think. Getting back to the coastal zone management thing, it looks to me like it basically the opposition and the demise of the coastal zone management is really the same people who are against this. They don't want changes. They don't want, I don't think they need to be afraid. We're not going to shut down industry. And we know, everybody knows this is a distractive state, but this misleading characterizations from Stand for Alaska, which had me fooled for a while. I thought, oh, I stand for Alaska. I stand for salmon. It's like, and then I started to like, these are different groups. Very deceptive. Anyway, just closing, after 60 years, updating that protection seems like a wise direction. Thank you.
Thank you. 60 years old or older and needing a tune-up. You must have had a conversation with my wife recently. Jolie Tully.
My name is Jolie Tully. Although I'm a newbie to Southeast Alaska, living here a little over 2 years, I can see the profound effect salmon has on our community. Almost everyone I know, either commercial or subsistence fishes, and everyone shares in the benefits that come with it. It's straightforward that one of Alaska's most valuable resources, and one that affects many thousands of people, shouldn't be squandered by poor planning and vague definitions. Science-based standards enforceable by the Department of Fish and Game are reasonable and desirable protections. The presumption of anadromy seems like common sense. That developers need to know what they're doing when they take on projects and carefully have to consider their environmental impact on salmon habitats is also reasonable and to be desired. Thank you for listening, and I support Ballot Measure 1.
Thank you. Tracy Sylvester.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Tracy. I'm sorry I don't have a statement prepared. I just kind of came at the last minute.
I've been here in Sitka for 11 years. I'm a commercial fisherman. We have our own troller. We fish with our two little kids. Salmon's obviously really important to our family. Basically, I'm just here to say that I would vote yes on one. And pretty much just reiterate what everyone else has said, that salmon's very important to this town. It's important to the entire state of Alaska for obvious reasons. We're only asking that industry be kept in check and salmon be put first, because as Nora Skeel said, once it's gone and we can't get it back. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. And I note that you also indicated that you're going to submit written testimony, so thank you. Bethany Goodrich?
Good morning, and thanks for being here. My name is Bethany, and I stand for Salmon, which I believe is a stand for Alaska. And I'll be honest, I'm a transplant moving to Sitka 6 years ago after growing up in the suburbs of Boston. I first came to Alaska for that romanticized wilderness to escape humanity. And ironically, I am building my forever home here because of the people. The Tlingit, Haida people who have lived here for centuries, and families who have chosen more recently to build a life in this beautiful state. My day job, working for a collective impact partnership focused on cultural, economic, and ecological prosperity, brings me all over Southeast, from Yakutat to Heidelberg. The people I get to work with, who have since become dear friends, show me daily how a good, meaningful life is one connected deeply in stewardship to the giving lands and waters around us. This value of stewardship is one I now emulate in my personal life. Hunting, fishing, and filling my freezer is not just nutrition for my body, but it's part of my identity. These values and this way of life are tied so intricately to the health of our salmon runs. I also run a small side business that in tangential ways relies on salmon. As a photographer, some of my favorite clients are family-owned businesses adding value to our world-class seafood. Because salmon in our fisheries don't just support a handful of multinational corporations, they support a huge complex web of businesses, large and tiny. Stand for Salmon is not anti-development, it's pro-careful development, encouraging responsible use of our common resources. I hold a master's degree in biodiversity management, and I know that ballot one will not solve all our problems. Salmon are complex. However, we should be doing everything in our power to integrate the best available science into our policies. Why else do we invest as a state, as communities, as families who can barely afford it, in education, if when it comes to safeguarding our most treasured resources, we refuse to listen? I will vote yes on one because there's nothing more important to me personally than keeping my new hometown from becoming the town I fled, a place that feels abundant and little more than a stray values and vacant strip malls. We are so lucky here. We must do everything we can to protect this abundance for ourselves and our children. Thank you.
Thank you. Elizabeth Blasing?
She had to go back to work.
Okay. Claire Sancher or Sanchez?
Hi, my name is Claire Sanchez. Thank you for your time. I support ballot measure one because salmon is vital to this community, way of life, cultural identity, and economy. I work with kids here in Sitka and have worked in Sitka schools where we have the unique Fish to Schools program that is featured in the latest Time for Kids magazine, if you want to read it, and is a model for Alaska lunch programs and providing local food and stewardship values. Local fishermen donate about 1,300 pounds of salmon before filleting, so students can have a salmon lunch option every Wednesday throughout the year. Salmon feeds us, fuels us, and is a common thread not only in Sitka, but all of Alaska. We need the science-based standards in ballot measure one to protect our fisheries and balance responsible resource development with protecting our fisheries for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Shepherd.
all of you.
With my small voice, I want to boldly speak for the planet, this earth, our only home. These streams, these rivers, they're my arteries. When we clog them, when we cover them, my liver cannot feel my heart. This is not complex. It will require collective thinking, a shift in attitude from us against them into the collective realization that this is our home. This is our heart. These streams are clogged with our irresponsibilities. I ask you all of us, we must think collectively. For the generations unborn, for my grandchildren, for our own lives, all of us have seen, all of us know, this is not news. Anywhere south of here, anywhere to the far north, one is melting, one is burning. Clog the arteries. What will your doctors tell you? What will happen to your life? Will you have a good life? Thank you.
Thank you. John Duncan?
Ask you don't start that minute, that 2 minutes till after I get done introducing myself, which will take 5 minutes. I'm a Tlingit from Sitka. I was born and raised in Excursion Inlet in Hoonah, Alaska. After graduating from school in Hoonah, I attended Mount Edgecombe High School. I'm speaking for myself. I'm Alaska Native Tlingit. I've grew up, like I said, I was born in Excursion, and I was raised up in a camp. No one else in my family was able to attend school till I was old enough to go to school. It's very interesting to me to hear all this stuff that these people are saying, a lot of it commercial. What about our people? What about our Tlingit people? That we lived off this fish for thousands of years, you would hear. We have stood on the beach watching big seiners, all these commercial, taking our food. How would you feel if we came in and took your food, your steaks, off your table and turned around and sold it to somebody else? Our people, I say our brothers and sisters across the state, our Native people, those are the people I will stand with. I'm all for what they're talking about, protecting the fish. But again, let you remind me, our people. And then let me also remind you, what are you doing for the food for those fishes? We fought hard for the heron. I was one of the persons that fought harder for that heron than anybody else did, I'm sure. 90% of our Simpson areas are gone. That's the food that the fish need to grow up. I'm a Kiksati from Sitka, Ha'aniaya. This is our land. My people fought for this land. I speak. I'm a house speaker for the Clay House. I want you folks that are sitting back there to excuse me. It has to take a little more time because you are speaking on our land. Welcome to our land. Our people are standing on the beach, or some of them are upriver. This is what happened up north. It burned me up to have a commercial open at the bottom of the river, at the mouth of the river, and to take the sands away from the poor people that are fishing upstream. What happened? What happened to subsistence first? That is very important to our people. So protecting the fish protected for us. So we were here for a long time, yet we're the last. Our people, our ancestors have fought to protect the salmon for years without any pay. And now they are standing on the beach. What about them? What about protecting them first?
Thank you, John.
There's a lot of money that people need. Ha'aniaya, this is our land.
Thank you.
You're welcome to our land, that you are having this at our land, Kunukchish.
Thank you, John. You need to wrap up.
Yeah, okay. That this is another thing that I said, there's very few of our people here for some reason. But we have lived here for thousands of years. But thank you for the 2 minutes that we get to speak for our food.
Thank you. Clarice Johnson?
Welcome to Sitka. My name is Clarice Johnson. I grew up in Sitka, and my earliest memories revolve around salmon. My first few months of life was spent at Chatham Tannery, while my father, Moses Johnson, fished on his boat, the Sockeye King. There are pictures of me as a baby in a high chair on deck, while my mother washed my diapers on lines off the side of the boat. I fished with my family every summer, and I stopped counting after 25 years. Salmon is central to who we are as individuals and a community. Salmon fishing is a sustainable industry in a state that has too often relied on boom and bust extraction. Protecting our most valuable resource to our greatest ability is not an unreasonable expectation, which is why I support ballot measure one. While he was governor, Frank Murkowski eliminated the Fish and Game Habitat Division, which performed an important function. Habitat Division staff used their expertise to comment on development projects that might damage critical areas for salmon and wildlife. More and more state agencies who should protect our interests seem to be influenced by multinational corporations. And now, a citizen-sponsored initiative to protect salmon is being funded with a seemingly limitless supply of money from corporations who oppose more regulations. While regulations may appear to be burdensome to some, the alternative is losing our way of life. As people who depend on salmon for our livelihoods, sustenance, and culture, we all know that salmon runs are unpredictable and are influenced by many factors beyond our control. I appreciate the governor convening a climate change commission, but it is becoming increasingly clear that politicians are unwilling to take action that would significantly slow down the effects of climate change and ocean acidification. This is why it is critical that we do everything in our power to use the tools available to protect salmon. Government has this ability to ensure that our salmon receive the greatest amount of protection available. Stand for Salmon is working towards this goal precisely because the current regulations are inadequate. Lieutenant Governor, your Sea Alaska legacy includes thousands of acres of clear cuts in Southeast Alaska, where salmon runs may be impacted by warming temperatures due to the state buffer that are inadequate for the job. This is your chance to prove that you do care about salmon and the people who depend upon them. Stand for Salmon, vote for ballot measure one. Thank you.
Thank you. Debbie Miller.
Thank you for coming today. Really appreciate it on such a beautiful day with the salmon literally jumping out the window behind you. I've lived in Alaska for 43 years, most of that time in Fairbanks, and more recently in Sitka. I'm here because I support Ballot Initiative 1. I love salmon. It's a good part of my DNA is made up of salmon. Whether living in Fairbanks, fishing on the Gulkana, fishing on the Susitna River, fishing in Sitka Sound, we are blessed to be the last stronghold for salmon in North America. We have the pristine rivers and streams, the habitats to support these millions and millions of fish and stocks, and we need to do all we can with stipulations, with science-based good guidelines to protect every anadromous stream and river in our state. I wrote a book called A King Salmon Journey for Children, illustrated by John Van Zyl. One of the things that I learned in writing that book was we followed the journey of a female king salmon that swam the farthest of all king salmon in the world that have been studied, from the mouth of the Yukon River all the way across Alaska through the Yukon Territory, beyond Teslin Lake, up the Nisutlin River, over 2,000 miles. And what I learned was that salmon connect all of us. We're all united by salmon, whether we live in Emonic, Ruby, Beaver, Fort Yukon, Fairbanks. Wherever we live in Alaska, we have this thread of salmon. And we're lucky, we're blessed. And we still have pristine habitat that salmon need to spawn, to deposit their eggs. And I learned in my research how sensitive they are to the slightest bit of sediment, a tablespoon of sediment in a liter of water, and you shake it up, and that's too cloudy for a salmon to deposit the eggs. It has to be pristine, clear, oxygenated, and that's why we need to update our regulations and make our law as strong as possible to protect our greatest renewable resource, salmon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Richard Nelson.
Hi, Byron. It's good to see you, my old friend.
Good to see you.
You honor us by being here to take this testimony. Thank you so very much. The Upward Sun Archaeological Excavation in Interior Alaska established Native people living on salmon in that part of the country 11,500 years ago. The history of connection between people and salmon in Alaska, the connection, the physical connection through subsistence, the spiritual connections, the cultural connections, the social connections, is absolutely vast and profound. And it's something that's eminently worthy of our respect. We have learned from the dependence of other people on salmon, starting in Europe and then to the East Coast of the United States and then to the West Coast, how fragile salmon are. As we've seen, salmon streams depleted and degraded one after the other, thousands of them, millions of them. Look at the map of the threatened and endangered species and extinct areas of salmon in the United States, and you see this dismal record of loss due to runoff from all sorts of industrial activities, of toxins, of overfishing, and dams and mines, and general loss of habitat. I drove here in a car. I live in a house made of wood. I do not oppose mining or lumbering, but I think it has to be done right. The salmon, if we treat them correctly, if we take care of their habitat, will outlast the oil. They will outlast the timber industry. They will outlast coal. They will outlast every invented human endeavor. And they're basically an infinitely sustainable resource if we do it right. And that means making compromises and ending the death by a thousand cuts that has come for salmon everywhere else. The last thing I want to say is that I remember the Tlingit elder, late elder Austin Hammond in Haines saying, if you take care of the land takes care of you. And I think it applies perfectly to salmon. If we take care of the salmon will take care of us. And keep this forest of troller poles outside the window, thick and dense and lively and rich and feeding every person in our communities. Thank you so very much. I'm strongly in support of Proposition 1. It's the single most important vote I will ever make as an Alaskan to stand up for salmon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Whenever I hear you, no matter the topic, I feel like I'm listening to a small symphony. Thank you. David Sam.
I was sitting here remembering conversations with a man who lived to be 102. And he began talking about these fish canneries coming into the country here. And sitting here thinking about the financial economy that started way back when, that a number of individuals here are not aware that they're talking about corporations. They talk about making a living. They talk about relying on corporations, and they don't even acknowledge that. What has happened to us here in Sitka? You look at the waterfront here. Look at the waterfront. Who is sitting on the land in the waterfront here? There are the people that a number of individuals are selling fish to. They don't acknowledge that. And so I'm thinking, at this point, I support this ballot. And that may change as we get closer. And I give thanks to John for talking and hearing the word at this hearing, herring. What has happened to the herring, even with all the regulations? Did those agencies listen to the people? Did those agencies choose to listen to the corporations? This is an example of the care we need to move. I give thanks to our elders for living their life truly by taking care of the resources that sustain all of us. I take exception to individuals who talk about if we take care of the salmon. They say that first. No. The salmon take care of us. I'm not going to be arrogant to say that we should take care of them. Because if history is any proof, look what we've done. Look what happened to the herring. The same thing is true in this case also. But at this point, I would urge people to look at this and taking care of what they believe in their hearts, not in their pocketbooks, like so many people have. They look to their pocketbook as if that money is going to provide for them. They need to look at where the money is being provided from. But that's sort of another way of offering support for this ballot. But I do take exception to the free use of culture, the free use of wording. Talk about what's real here. The salmon need to be around to take care of us. Kashish.
Thank you, David.
David Christ Tompkins.
Hi, my name is David Christ Tompkins. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Lamont, for coming.
Good Lord, you have hair.
Hi, no, I'm this brother. Jonathan's my brother. He has not as much hair as I do. I'm losing mine as well. Thank you. I come here to tell you that I support the Stand for Salmon initiative, and I'm a transplant here to Sitka. I came here with my family when I was 5, and currently I work in Fairbanks for the Department of Fish and Game, working in the subsistence division, and my job there is to listen to interviews of elders throughout Alaska, throughout interior Alaska and western Alaska and northern Alaska, about how they hunt and fish and how they rely on the subsistence foods, especially as they weigh it against development, because many of the projects that are funded in the Division of Subsistence are like the natural gas pipeline or mines that are coming through in this. So we're looking at funding. And so those elders are weighing these big industries versus their livelihood, and whether it's salmon or caribou or whitefish, they're all looking at the land and how they've seen it used. And the thread that I see through that is they rely on those fish. They see how those foods tie their communities together, not only within the community, but the network of communities that they have. And I see that in my own life, growing up here, relying on the redout subsistence fishery and the sport fish that we use, the king salmon and silvers that we use to fill our freezer here in Sitka. So I hope that that you will support the Stand for Salmon initiative, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Harvey Kipka. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning, Governor Mollott, or Lieutenant Governor. It's good to see you again. Glad you came to Sitka.
Let me say this just to interrupt you for a second. Someone said that I was required to be here, or at least to hold these hearings, and I certainly am by statute. but we had the obligation to choose where these hearings would be held. And I'll just say for the record myself that these hearings on this subject would never be complete unless there was a hearing in Sitka.
Thank you very much. I wanted to say more than I needed to say right now, but there were so many eloquent speakers that articulated so much that it was very important to the subject. Our friend John Duncan, he talked about the herring, which was very important. I know you I don't know if you wanted to talk about it, but I believe this is a step in the right direction. I believe we need to go a little further with how the food sources in the ocean. I realize that Department of Fish and Game says that the salmon streams are, the escapement is fine, that enough comes out of the rivers that are enough to come back to the rivers so that there'd be plenty of fish. But something's happening in the ocean that's causing them to die. Really, the only thing that we have control of is the fishery of forage fish. So I would recommend that something be put in place at some time in the future for this. Thank you.
Thank you. Harvey was the last to sign up to testify. We're required, again by law, to keep the hearing open until 12 noon. So we will stand in recess. There is a sign-in sheet at the back, and if anyone shows between now and noon, we will hear their testimony. Yes, ma'am?
So there was a number of small children in the back that were drawing pictures about this the whole time, so I want to submit their drawings also as testimony. So you have pictures of fish and streams and what would happen if these things aren't protected.
Oh, wonderful.
All ages 3 and 4.
Okay, we'll include those in the hearing record. So thank you for that. So we are in recess until adjournment at 12 noon unless someone signs up further to testify. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. No,
I remember.